You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Psalm 37 just for a moment. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, looking to you, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our little series movement, looking at our present world conditions, national conditions, local conditions, and here we are. And in the process, we're seeking to exercise in a very special way, God's way, the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ at this particular time in history, which should always be, but is needed at this point, to say the least. So therefore, we're looking at David, and we share together, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, thou art with me." Now, we did look at that, and we've been all around it, and we said Psalm 37, David is used, David is going to give instructions. But he's old. We read all of those. And David's going to tell us what does it mean to walk in the valley of the shadow of death? And he's going to give us instructions by way of God's grace. So when we did that in that psalm, here's Psalm 37, verse 23. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down." Why is that? "For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." God keeps him and helps him. Now, so that's what we're looking at. And David, "they though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness," he walks. Now, what do we know? God has everything in the 66 books of the Bible. And God has them, and they're all done in such a way to fill in every piece that is needed at a particular point in history. And it is our turn in history, so therefore we have all of God's word. Now, God, you cover everything so that we can understand, and as a people looking to you. Now, what do we know about Abraham? God, you pick a man. There's Job. Job, we aren't going to talk about Job. And there's Noah and Job and Abraham's day. But we didn't talk about wonderful Abraham. What are we doing? We're going to look at we didn't talk about Job. We're going to talk about Abraham. Why Abraham? Because he comes from the heart of idolatry across over from the Babylon, and he goes through a journey. That we don't have any record that Job ever did that. Now, God picked people, he picks them, and picks chapters in the Bible for special things. 1 Corinthians 15 for resurrection and all of that. So he has everything there that you need. Now, God, what is Abraham's purpose? Not Job, what is Abraham's purpose? Abraham is to go and help us. And he, what did he do that was so special? He believed God. That's what he did. He's a marked man, and he believed God, and God uses him as his illustration. Over to Galatians chapter 3. Of all the different places, I'm just going to go to this. It's easy, quick. Galatians in chapter 3. And you will notice, please, going, if I may, directly in the light of the context, verse 6. "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." And Romans 7, and you know all of these things. Now, sliding over to verse 14. "That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, purpose that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Over to chapter 3 and in verse 29, the end. Chapter 3 and 29. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, Abraham is the example to believe. How are you going to get along with God? How are you going to go to anywhere with God? You've got to believe. Without faith, it's impossible to even proceed, to even be introduced without faith. You've got to believe. What did you say? You said it in the Gospel of John we've been looking at. We'll go back to it not too long from now. Back to John, what, 99 times? What's the Gospel of John about? Believing. That's what you're supposed to believe. But what do we know? Just believe. Now, we got that part. Now, what do we know about walking? Walking. Our Lord walked. Noah walked with God. Abraham walked with God. But David is picked for walking. David is picked. That's why we're looking at it. God used David. Why? David gave his heart to God. Chapter 13 of 1 Samuel. He gave his heart to God. Outstanding. All things are mentioned, but boy, you don't have too many where God said, that man took his heart, 1 Samuel 13, and he brought his heart right up to where mine was, said God, and we connect it. David wanted my heart for his heart, and my heart wanted David's heart for God's heart, both, to be one heart. That's why David's picked. Abraham is picked because he believed. What is the outstanding thing about David? He had a heart for God. Now, Ofer, if you would, just to see that a little bit. Now, God, are you consistent in pointing that out? Absolutely. Ofer, if you would, please, to just catch a glimpse of it. 1 Kings chapter 11. First Kings chapter 11. And may I pick up, please, in thought. You remember Solomon? Now, God, what are you going to say to the kings? And here's Solomon, his son. David, God's choice, God's example. So when we come to 1 Kings chapter 11, King Solomon has got into all kinds of idolatry and stuff. Therefore, verse 4 is going to help us. 11:4. And it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. He just wasn't like his father. Now, what about all the rest of them? Got to go down the line. Over to chapter 9. Going back just to see it to Solomon. Solomon was told. Solomon didn't do it. Chapter 11, chapter 9, he should have. Chapter 9, picking up, please, in verse 4. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee, I will keep my statutes and my judgments. Solomon was told to do so, chapter 11, he did not. He just didn't have a heart for God. Now, skipping along all the way over to 2 Kings, going to jump a whole lot just to see it. 2 Kings, if I can. 2 Kings, chapter 22. Second Kings 22, verse 2. We're looking at all the kings. I'm just taking another just to see it. Second Kings 22, verse 2. And he did that. This is Josiah. Remember the last Josiah, the last good king of Judah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of David his father. Well, Josiah's way down here. David's way back here. Why? Because David is the standard. He's the standard. He's the standard. He's the standard. He's the standard. You want to walk with God? Listen to David. David will tell you how to walk with God. You want to walk? You want to believe? Believe like Abraham, and you'll be fine. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and in that, and by the Son of David, the David, and then the Son of David, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And without turning there for time's sake, you recall that Peter tells us what? Our Lord Jesus Christ walked with God, and he's an example for us to walk. Now, Paul, what did you go? Everyone's following suit. Paul, what are you going to tell us? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me as I follow the Lord. What are we doing? We're supposed to be following the Lord. And you see the leaders, you always see the back part, the back. You don't see this way. You see this way because they're going and you're following them. You're following them. Where are they going? Where is this guy or gal going to take me? Where are they going to bring me? Where am I going to end up if I follow them? Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind of our Lord and the Apostle Paul, etc., so they had to believe. So the steps, as we read in Psalm 37, the steps, the march, to march along, making good one step at a time, and what to have a one step at a time is to make possible our relationship to God. And we're to have thus, it's to be, each step we take is to be an experience. It is to be an education. It is to be enjoyable. So we're taking steps. One step. And you'll remember we did on Wednesday of that in Deuteronomy and in Deuteronomy. Keeping in mind that Israel was minded before they crossed the Jordan. Israel is reminded that God, they in their 400 years in Egypt, what do? They worked very hard to just live. They had to pump all the water from the Nile over into the Atlantic Ocean so they could have farming and plants and food. That's what they did. And they're busy pumping, moving the water down the little troughs to the next level, till it got to where it needed to be. That's what they did, 24 hours a day if they had to do it. Now God, and we shared together, or we will right now. Now God, what were you trying to tell them? Did they know what it was like to live 400 years in slavery? Absolutely. Did they know what it was like to live 40 years in the wilderness, totally bankrupt place for death, but God kept them alive in his wonderful keeping, his shepherding. He kept them alive. Now, God, what are you telling them before they cross the Jordan? I'm going to tell you, your life has never been, it will never be again, if you allow, understand. It'll never be like in Egypt. It'll never be like in the wilderness. It's no more. Just to see it, remember our study in Joshua, over to chapter Joshua, if I can, in chapter 3. Joshua in chapter 3. And picking up, please, in thought. Remember we did these things, but just to remind you, Chapter 3, picking up, please. Going directly, if I can, in chapter 3, verse 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. In other words, the ark is going to be placed in the middle of the Jordan River, which has now become dry. And verse 4, explanation. Why is it such a dramatic, like crossing the Red Sea? Why is it so dramatic? Because you must never forget how you go from the wilderness to the land of promise. You must never forget. Now, and all the nations are going to pay attention. Verse 4. Yet there shall be a space, 3,000 feet or so, between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way in by which you must go. For you have not passed this way heretofore. You have never been this way. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, it's a whole new way. And the trouble is, we try to live the old way, and we practice the old way, because we know the old way. It's a new way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It's a whole new world. So when you're trying to live your life and as best you understand it and sincerely and seriously, and you do it, and that's fine, but that's not quite what it is. It's quite different than that. And Israel needed to understand. And for 7 years, they did. For 7 years, they conquered 33 kings, all of the nations, all the armies, north and south. Wow. And they did without hardly losing a man. That's something. Wow. But then they got back to the old ways, and they lost it. That's the book of Judges. Everyone does that which is right in his own eyes. It's a whole new way, a whole new, wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, over to Psalm 119. And you need to understand that. So what we're banging away and being a pest about and all of that is that you have to understand it's new. And if you don't understand and start learning it, and understand it's new, then you're trying to apply what we're doing your way. And it's not your way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and God delights. It's his way. It's his steps. It's his journey. It's his plan for your life. He's the creator for the 4,000th time. He's the one that created you to enjoy his wonderful truth, to enjoy him. When? Not when you get to heaven. That's a lot of people think I'm going to get saved and go to heaven. Well, that may be. But that isn't what it's about. It's about passing, think of John 5:24, pass from death what? Unto life. When? Instantly. God's trying to change your journey, your attitude, your whole thinking, to understand God is an awesome God. We're going to pick it up as we bumble along here. Now, therefore, Psalm 119. And may I pick up in Psalm 119. God help us. Would you please note, if I can, all of those verses, alphabet. Psalm 119, 105. 105, verse. And pick it up. Just get the flavor of it without the whole context. Thy word is a lamp unto the next mountain. The next week. No. Next pay raise. No. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The steps of a good man are ordered by God, and the way is God's. We've been doing that. Think of the storm we just did, hurricane, Psalm 37, verse 7. You're in the middle of the eye of the hurricane. Calm as can be. That's your journey. That's the word. And you're going down the corridor. You're surrounded by whirling winds that no one, knowing nothing, gets in the way of the tornado. Tornado calls the shots wherever it wants to go. That's what it does. And we're surrounded. That's for us right now. That's our journey. That's what we're trying to get now. Psalm 119, over what we did that, the word is a lamp under my feet. While you're here, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. So help me be able to go in your steps, not in the steps of the government, not in the steps of the state, not in the steps of your mother or father, unless they're going in the same way. And then it isn't their steps, it's God's steps. It's always God's will for your life. Always God's will. Very personal. Very wonderful. You go down the corridor, very personal. Now, so the steps of a good man. Now, and you know that, steps, one step at a time. And without getting it too up, but just to see it, if you do mathematics at all, you had to add up a bill. And you had to add up a bill, your bill or something. And you have the bill, and you have the different column of figures. If you have the wrong numbers, will the answer come out right? One wrong number in one wrong column. Could it make a difference? 1,000 should be 100, 100 should be 10,000. Depends. It's critical, isn't it? When you're adding, that's why you have smartphones. You don't have to think anymore. You just push buttons and say, think for me. And out it comes. See? That's the same for English language. You don't have to think. What's a verb? You don't care. You don't even know how to spell it. In fact, sometime George gives me, I don't have a thing, email thing. I said, who wrote that sentence? I said, what kind of sentence is that? It's from the email. And whatever, who does it? Where do they ever get that sentence? You see? A funny word that's in the wrong place. Now, in the process, each stone, you know, think of Michelangelo or something, and you have a big piece of marble, and you're going to make David, statue of David, subject, and you're going to make him, David, and you're going to do him. What are you going to do? You're going to start chipping away. Now, the big chips, though, that's one thing. But then you get down to the little nitty-gritty of things and the little chips, just to get the nose, just to get each thing. If you didn't have the chips, would you get the statue? Would you ever have the statue without the chips? You have to have the chips. Hang on. The steps of a good man. A whole man, a whole heart for God, ordered by God. Steps, one step, uh-huh, hang on. Now, so having said that, that's bricks and thoughts and everything else. That's how we got the wall. And you can't just put that top brick up there. No, you've got to start in the bottom, and you layer upon layer, brick upon brick. That's how you get there, one brick at a time. One step at a time. Each thing is one. That's how you do everything. That's how you get anywhere. Hang on. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so when we go down the corridor of time, steps, little ordinary days, ordinary hours, ordinary minutes. We live them. But we need to relook at it again afresh, because I have to understand, it's the days that get me into the months, and the months that get me into the years. Why do you have a birthday? Why? Didn't you add up all? Do you add up all those days? I bet most of you don't say. I am 15 years old and 65 days and a half. Do you count your days? Do you count your hours? Oh, no. But boy, all of those add up to what? Your next birthday. And you can't get to that birthday without every one of those hours and days. You can't get there. I know you want to get older, but I have to tell you, you can't do it without one day at a time. It's impossible. And you have to get that afresh. God, what are you telling it? Well, David did. I walked before God in the valley of deep darkness, one day, one step at a time. That's how I lived. I fumbled through it and got there. Wow, you'll pick it up. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that, and just if you missed that, missed all of that, God, are you concerned about these little steps? And you'll see that coming up. Yes, I am. And we share that, Matthew chapter 10, as you know. And Matthew chapter 10 up through there, what do we know? Well, God said, listen, a little bird, I know every little bird that falls, not big birds, not giant eagles of vultures, little birds, little bitty birds, not famous hummingbirds or something, little birds you don't even pay attention to. I know every time everyone falls. I know the hairs on your head. I bet most of you haven't counted your hairs. Have you lately? When's the last time you tried to count your hairs? God said, I know your hairs. I know. One step at a time. But, no. One step at a time. And you're going to lose it if you go beyond that. Because you're trying to, Matthew chapter, you don't have to turn there, Matthew chapter 6 at the end. Sufficient is the day, enough today is the evil. Yea, though I walk in the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil. The evil's enough. Enough. Enough it is. That's what God said. It's enough for you to live today. Don't try to live. Don't add tomorrow already to today. It's too much for you. And all that lies ahead, you don't know. James chapter 4. You don't know what tomorrow, what this afternoon is. So one step at a time. That's how you're going to go. Hang on. Now, in the light of that, little bird, hairs in their heads and all of that, virus, little bit of bugs and viruses, and God, you made them all. That's right, I did. I did, and they're little. They're little, and you say no kind. In fact, I forgot, I may do it tonight, but if I can remember it, they went 338 feet down into the ground, down. That's a deep well. It's hard to find water down that at that depth, you realize. You can get a lot of heat. I suppose if you went down there, you could get hot water and not have to heat. You get hot water coming up. No, down there. And they found the little microbes that are alive, have DNA, the little things. And they're, a hair is 0.0004 thick, one of your hairs. This little microbe that's alive, is 0.0004. And then there's 8 zeros and a 4. Wow. That's small. Way down there. God, do you care about, who cares what's down there, right? When was the last time you cared what happened was 338 feet down? When was the last time you even thought about it? God said, I know it all. So I'm trying to help you. He said, go on, hey, help me. One step at a time. That has to be. That's how everything happens. Now, keeping that in mind, and God, and we mentioned the sculptor and all that, and the Greek sculptor said, you know, trifles make perfect, and perfection is no trifle. So that's how everything happens. One chip, one step at a time. Say, I don't want to do it. Then you can't have it. You can't have the statue of David unless you do one chip at a time. It's the way it is. But my life. No, hang on. Because you get boredom and all those different things. And we get tied up in so many things. So now, here's triumph. We need to triumph in and by the trifles. By transforming them into what? Wonderful expressions of life. God, what's it all about? Going down the corridor of time, Noah did what? Noah walked with God. What did he do on Tuesday? Noah walked with God. For 120 years, he lived in rank, terrible unbelief that was increasing for 120 years. It got worse and worse and worser. And he lived in that. One day at a time, for 120 years, and he built the ark, which is an awesome feat to even consider. But they had marvelous ability then, way back then. And God makes everything happen. Wow. God did that. One step at a time. One step. That's all you did, Noah. That's all you did. That's all I did. Go on a different way. Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. What do we know about Enoch? Enoch, saved man, walked with God, and God took him. He was just walking along, doing what with God, and God took him up. What are you doing? We're supposed to be what? Walking with God and waiting at any moment, and what's going to happen if you're saved? God will take you up. That's what Enoch did. Noah did. What David did. Thou, Lord, did. So one day at a time. That's right. And we have to go and look and understand God's wonderful grace and what he does. Thomas Carlyle was a Scottish writer in the 1800s, middle 1800s. And he said of Alfred Lord Tennyson, who also lived at the same time, who was an English poet, and he made a statement that is worthy in the light of what we're looking at. Quote, this is Carlyle talking about Tennyson, his friend over here. He was always carrying with him a lump of chaos and turning it into cosmos. One step at a time, and he took advantage of every step and educated himself. The hard things, the easy things, the normal things, the things that happen that get you frustrated. Wow. You bend down, everything falls out of your pocket. You ever had that happen? All kinds of things, one step at a time. One step at a time. Got a cup of coffee over here, and you didn't mean it, and boom, it spills over everything. One step at a time. One step at a time. And you, God, help me. We clean it up. And we take whatever we can out of it. One step at a time. And we aren't trying to go, and then what's going to happen if this happens and I go there and this happened, this and... No, one step at a time. In the eye of the hurricane, the tornado, surrounded by the whirlwinds, down the corridor of time. The steps are God's. It's his way. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. So down the corridor I go. Wow. In a most wonderful way. So God, here we are looking for you to deal with our heads and deal with our hearts. And what's so wonderful about it? You don't have to turn there. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. Where I say it simply. We are a lump of clay. That's what it says. God takes this vessel of clay, and the power in the vessel is God's. And God takes the nothing, dust, and he gives it deity. He gives it the fullness, the flowing. In a world of darkness that hates light, that hates right, that loves death, and is full of evil, that is, to leave God out of the picture. Evil, if you leave evil, have evil, then there's no good. Good's missing, God's missing. Ah. So now, going down like that, God, you're going to do a wonderful thing. Yes, he is. Over, if you would please, over to C, over to, well, we'll do it. 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, we'll do that, because why not? And in chapter 4. So as you go, one step at a time, and that's how you get the stone, the marble stone of David or anything else, painting, whatever, one thing at a time, one step at a time, that's how you get there. One day at a time, 1 hour at a time, that's what you do. And we go down that corridor now. Having said that, and here we'll pick up what we just mentioned, but we'll read it. If I can, in verse, I'll read verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined where? In the heart of the believer. Abraham believed God. What are we doing? Believing God. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, light into the darkness of my heart, in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, Christ in you, this earthen vessels, vessels of clay, that the excellency, the superabounding wonderfulness of the power, dynamite, dynamic, may be of God and not of us. God's wonderful thing. Now, God, that's what you're doing. So you get saved, and that's the beginning. You know, without turning there, Philippians 1:6, he that hath begun what? A good work in you is going to finish it. Are you going to let him? And God tells you, at the great white throne, Bema seat, I'm going to put it up front. Why don't you have what you have? All you've got's wood, hay, and stubble, not gold, silver, and precious stones. You didn't build. I gave you the plan. You just didn't go with it. I gave you the wonderful thing I would do with your life. What are you doing with my life, this vessel of clay? What are you chipping away at? That's what a chip is. Each day, the falling down, the hard things, easy things, and it all brings experience and exercise, and ultimately we start saying thank you more than we should. Now, here, over in chapter 3, God, what are you looking for? 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, picking up, if I can, in verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. But, having this freedom, but we all, with open face, uncovered face, beholding as in a glass, to truly see ourselves as we are, a vessel of clay, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, God's wonderful plan for your life. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. We're changed. Well, how are we changed? One day at a time. One day at a time. If you've been saved a little bit, I trust you're all saved now in this Labor Day weekend and that. But assuming you're all saved, and hope that would be the case, how long have you been saved? How long have you been saved? So you've been saved so long. Now, have you been saved so long? Try it in these few seconds. Ask yourself, if you can, a quick question. Here you are sitting here today. Here we are together on the Lord's Day. A year ago, what was I like? 5 years ago, I don't know where you have to go. What were you like last year? If you've been growing. You're growing physically, and if you were there, you're getting older. Getting older. Getting older. Wiser. Older. Gone. What were we like? We should be changed. We're growing. We grow up. We grow up. That's what we're supposed to do. Grow up. That's what little children do. Little children are born to grow up. Not just to grow up. God, what do? Will you save us in a most wonderful way in order that we can grow up? Now, physically, you change and grow. Spiritually, your soul, the person inside doesn't. Using my tissue. You're this big when you get saved. And you never get bigger. Do you understand? You never get bigger. You're a person, a complete person, full grown inside here, in your soul, in your life. You don't grow. Your body changes. You develop, exercised by your experience and educate. Little baby, why can't the, if I'm this big inside, why can't I speak? Because I have to understand I'm living in the earthly realm, and my body is programmed earthly to communicate earthly. Spiritually, I'm dead. So I can't talk to God. I got to get saved. But being a little baby, I'm well alive, and I'm there. But I can't talk to you now because I have to get all this adjusted in my brain and everything. But I'm the same person. So I'm going to be 5 years old and 10 years old and 110 years old. I'm the same person. I've just grown and developed. How did you grow and develop? One day at a time. As a little baby, I lived all the little days of my life to be a little teenager. I lived some more days in my life to be an adult. That's what I did. That's how I got here. How'd I get here? One day at a time. That's on the outside. What were you doing on the inside? I'm changing you. I want to change you. I have a wonderful plan for your life. So that's why I want you to come to know me as your Lord and Savior. So that when your body goes into the ground, you stay with me. From here to there. So, wow. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind while you're in Corinthians, we are changed. Now, sliding over if I can, in the light of it, you're right here, why not? Chapter 4. And remember, you're going to go through all kinds of things we mentioned. In the process of just being alive. That's how you're educated. You see, my life's so dull. I have nothing. I don't do anything. Anything spectacular. You know, I watch the television, whatever I do. I watch it, and it's so exciting. They fall off buildings, and they jump from one building to another, and they don't get hurt. And they have all kinds of things they do. And wow, my life's so dull. It's so dull. Dull. That's because that's all you got. But when you have you never crossed this way before, cross the Jordan, a whole new way. God's helping us. And so, using it, you watch the man jump from the Empire State Building to the Washington Monument. How's that? That's a big jump. And a wow, wow. No, you can't do that. No, no. And say, God, you know, God, you didn't make me to do that. Nope, God, here I am. I'm just little old me in this chair. And God, you can do that. I can't do that. But God, you can. And God, I thank you that I'm not trusting legs like that. I'm trusting you, not my legs, your person, power, to outwork my simple life in this chair with thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man is perishing, it is, the older you get, the more you discover it. Though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That stays the same. You get saved, and you have life, and you have a relationship to God, and you outwork that relationship to God in this body, and you do it in a most wonderful way. Verse 17. But our light affliction, light, no matter how you cut the cookie, no matter what plague or anything you had, wouldn't make any difference, not an issue. But our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Wow. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, God, so here we are looking one day, dull, everything's the same dishes, same thing. That's the fourth day you've had macaroni, and wow. And you just keep going and doing the stuff you do, and wow. But it's different. Each day has moved you down the corridor. And as you thankfully proceed, you are changing. And God adds other little ingredients, the refrigerator breaks down or something else, or something, and you're being exercised at work, at home, at school, and you're being exercised in all kinds of ways. It doesn't seem like much, but no, you're working through it. And come the end of a given period, a year, a month or something, and you discover that you don't think quite that way anymore. You've learned a little thing. You'll find you say thank you more than you ever did. You'll find that you look at people differently. You look at your job differently. You look at the enemy. You look at the dumb virus differently. And the thing said that, you know, when I say that. In fact, I have that. I was going to share it with you, but the Surgeon General. Is the Surgeon General, he's an important man? Right? The Surgeon General with the CDC? Oh, I wanted to say it because then you'll yell at me. He said, mask make for more problems. The CDC, and he said that, and then they took it off the air. Yeah, that's all right. I got all of that in tape. I almost was going to play it up here. I said, you need to hear this, because they're out to... I don't want to do it. No. When I'm in heaven, when we're in heaven, we're never going to do this. You understand? There's no virus in heaven. See? There's no virus in heaven. So anyway, you got to do the best you can and understand as much as you can and practice as much as you can, as best you can, and try to make everybody happy. How's that? Try to make everybody happy and you'll be good. Now, wow. Now, picking up if I can, since we're right here. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. May I look at verse 17? And just as you do, I'll look at verse 17. For our light affliction was but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. And remember we did this the other day in Ephesians. Let me do it with this one. Verse 17. God, in his wonderful language, his way to speak, his way to put words together, verbs together, passive and active and everything, to make it all just be what it is. So we don't have to guess at stuff. Wow. So here, verse 17. God, let's do it. what you did. You took that, and Paul wrote it down, but now we're going to read it. Glory, glory. Verse 17, glory. Weight of glory. Not just glory, the weight of glory. Not just the weight of glory, the eternal weight of glory. Not just the eternal weight of glory, the exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Not just the exceeding and eternal weight of glory, the more exceeding eternal weight of glory. The more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Now, God, who else writes like that? I told you, that's wonderful. God said, listen, I want you to have and know my wonderful glory. Let me, our time is gone. Would you go with me? My watch is off, so remember the other one broke? That's a brand. So, and Alan, and I wondered why you stood up. I said, you can't stand up yet. I got 5 more minutes. See, so, but you did. Anyway, so I'm reading it. Alan told me he was going to give me his watch. I said, no, I'm going to remember. Oh, I was going to give it in the light of that. Just personal. It's a wonderful thing. Our Lord, what do you want? To get on the corridor of time in the middle of your peace? Uh-huh. Peace of God which passes all understanding, right in the middle of the storm. The world's doing what it's doing. Everything's doing what it's doing, absolutely. And God in his awesome, we're in the middle of him. God taking care of your omnipotence. Wow. Like the wind. Who's ever going to, God, whatever you want us to go, in your will, that's where we're going. Now, God, where would you want us to go? For your glory. We're changed. We're being changed, chip by chip, inch by inch, in the dull, boring, humdrum living. Your work, your home, school. Not that that's humdrum. Over, if you would please, to Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, picking up, please. In chapter 17. We didn't get very far, but we got another shot if the Lord tarries tonight. Chapter 17. Okay, here's our Lord, his last words in the upper room before he goes out to the garden, to the cross. Now, here's John chapter 17. May I go, please, directly in verse 24. 17:24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. God, why do you want us to be where you are? Because I wanted you to see what? I'm going to read it. That purpose, they may behold my glory. I want you to see my glory. God, what's supposed to be happening to us, chip by chip, inch by inch? We're changed. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. God's doing a wonderful work inside of you. And you're doing it, but what for? For his glory. God, what do you want me to see? What are you waiting for? I mean, we're in your presence. You want us to be with you? Uh-huh. For what? To see your glory that's supposed to be in us. And if you knew what I have done, what I'm doing for you in here, inch by inch, chip by chip, step by step, you'd be rather overwhelmed than excited. And fortunately, I don't let you do that. I let you stay humbled. Otherwise, you'd be unlivable. Like Apostle Paul, if God didn't do cripple his eyes in that, he would have been unlivable. He had been in heaven, seen it. God, what do you want us to see? I want you to see my glory. Really? Uh-huh. Verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, God to the Father, which thou gavest me, I have given them. purpose, that, T-H-A-T, that they may be one even as we are one. I want them to be able to share my glory. I've given it to them. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. God gave it to you. Gave you what? The wonderful purpose to change your life to be like His. That's what He did. He did it. And He wants to do it. Step by step, inch by inch, in His way. And we get all tied up in comparing and other things and fumbling through criticisms and everything, trying to get through life on God's terms. And we try to find some way, some place that will be encouraging to us and tell us that they think just like we do. No, I don't want to think, and you don't want to think like each, we don't want to think like each other. We want to think like God. God, what do you want? I want you to know my glory. I have given you my Son. He is to be to the glory of God. And I want you to be, have that glory now. And I want you to, I'm waiting for you to be there to see it. I want you to see it, my glory. The glory of God. In closing, John 14. And you know, John chapter 14, picking up in the upper room still. Chapter 14, you'll remember it. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Believe God, that's what David. David had a heart for God, and he walked in the darkness in the valley of the shadow of death. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe, like Abraham believed God. Believe also in me. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I want you to be there. Verse 3. And if I go to prepare a place for you, which he has, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, why do you want to do that, God? Purpose, the end of verse 3, that where I am, you can be there. I want you to be where I am to see my glory. I want you to be where I am to understand what I've done for you. In a world of unbelief and indifference and rebellion, I want you to see what I done have done with the whosoever that would believe and walk with me in the valley of the shadow of death. That's what I want. I'm waiting. And we're here. God, I hope he doesn't come. I got to get this. No, you don't have much to look forward to these days, I have to tell you. Is that all right? Things are not good. You got the agreement with the Arabs over there and the Saudi, United Arab Republic, and with Israel, a peace with the Arabs. They don't care about the Palestinians. The Arabs don't care. Whatever the Palestinians want won't make any difference. So Israel has this safety. It never had it. It's having it now. You understand? Think of Ezekiel 38. Think of all those wonderful things. All of them. All boom, 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 boom. All of that. Russia, Iran, and Turkey. Turkey has the largest, last army of Muhammad. That's what they see. The last army of Muhammad to come against Israel. I gotta quit. Sorry, I drifted. I think it's wonderful. That's what I do. I think the whole thing's wonderful. So don't if you're looking to have a, my children are going to have a glorious, when they're 95, they're going to be the doctor supreme. No, you may never make next year. I hope you don't. But I hope you're saved. And that's what we're looking forward to. And that's how we walk and live. God help us. Our Father and God, we look to you with thanksgiving and thank you very much for your grace and kindness and as we just get along, God, a little bit to try to understand things. Try to and exercise the magnificence of truth, the magnificence of your presence, the realities that are very, very, very real and right for us to possess them, to be possessed by them, to be able to profit by them, to be able to enjoy the pleasure that they produce, the safety, the assurance, the glory. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.